light. Comes the light. Praise the Lord. Okay. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's in the future, isn't it? That's that promise. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God against such things. And I remember we read in Proverbs 8:13, what does God hate? He hates evil. He hates the evil way. He hates pride. He hates arrogance. And he hates the perverse mouth. Okay? That's the things that God hates. And the fear of the Lord is to hate what God hates and to love what God loves, to have that awe, that reverence of God. I want to please him. And I think that's what happens when we become believers, right? When the Holy Spirit's living within us, then we want to be pleasing to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, if I'm alive or if I'm dead, I just want to be pleasing to him. That's what matters. And then it says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. And again, we learned, occasionally we might fall into one of these things, right? But the ticket is practice. Those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says in Galatians 5. Yes, we fall into that maybe. Maybe lying or whatever. But here's the thing. We have the Holy Spirit inside who convicts us of these things. He shows us the truth about us. And you know, sometimes I don't like seeing the truth about me. Right? Have you ever had the Holy Spirit show something about you that you're just like, oh man, I thought I had gone beyond that. I thought I was different now. I remember one time I was having my devotions in my bed, and all of a sudden I started thinking about my husband and his hearing. And I'm thinking, I am so sick of him not hearing. I just have to repeat things so many times. And my goodness, he can't remember anything either. You remember so-and-so? No. You know the guy, blah, blah, blah. No. Is that all you can say? No. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And God let me get away with it that day. The next day, I'm in the Word. I'm having my devotions. Same thoughts. And this time, the Holy Spirit said to my heart, I could take away your hearing. I could take away your ability to remember. I've given you to him because of what he's going through with these things. Oh, my goodness. I felt like God was looking at me, and when I was sitting there in all that pride was just oozing out of me like a big fat sausage. You know where you take a fork and you poke it, and all that grease just comes running out? That's what I think I looked like to God. The grease of pride. And I didn't just have pride. I had arrogance too. It was just abundant grease coming out. And seriously, I thought, I'm going to get Alzheimer's. I am. my punishment is coming for sure. But praise God, he convicts us. Aren't you thankful for that? I want you to look at one thing real quick. Look at Psalm 41. And this is a very familiar psalm. You'll recognize it as soon as we get to it. It's 42. 42. And this is a song we sing sometimes. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Now, that's where we always should be, right? that my soul is panting for him. But I want you to notice something. Verse 2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Now, this might be people, but it also might be him saying to himself, where is God? Where is God? Because right now I feel hopeless. He'll say that in just a minute. He says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. He's doing some soul searching. For I used, past tense, I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. But where am I now with God? Verse 6. Verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Why do I find myself here? Why do I find myself in this place where I feel hopeless and I'm thinking, where is God? Why? Because you see, I've gone off the trail. I've walked away. And the Holy Spirit is pulling me back, reminding me of when I used to be filled with joy, when I used to be walking with God. And he says this, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, here's the remedy. I will remember you. Go back to your first love. I will remember you. I will remember when I had that fresh, ongoing relationship with you, when I was filled with hope, when I was filled with joy, because I was walking with you. I will remember it. And then I love it down in verse 11. Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? And then he answers that question, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. And that's where we go sometimes. We go off the path. We let busyness crowd in. And we put to the side our relationship with God. I'll read the word later. I'll get into it later. I'll pray later. You know, it's an amazing thing how easily that can happen with us. But I thank God that his Holy Spirit is there to pull us back. We have a girl in our church back in Murrieta where I live. And she's from China. And she came over here, and she got saved after she came over here. She went to the Calvary Chapel Bible College, went back to China for a little bit as a missionary, and now she's back in the States. I have never in my life seen such an evangelist. She does not meet somebody that she does not share the Lord with them. And right now in our church, we have over 100 Chinese people that she has brought every one of them to the Lord. Amazing. Amazing. And every Sunday, our church bought some little earphones, like the United Nations, you know. She translates what the pastor's saying into Chinese, and they hear it in their own language. And they have a ladies' prayer meeting. I go to the ladies' prayer meeting, and as I'm sharing things, I read the word in English, and they all read it in unison in Chinese. It's so cool. Oh, I love it. I love it. Anyway, why did I say that? I had a person. I had a reason. Oh, I know. One of these ladies, Catherine is the name of the Chinese lady I'm referring to, and she has a job because we have a lot of Chinese now in our valley. And so she goes to the public school and helps translate. And it's so interesting because she'll be there with the teacher who only speaks English. She speaks English and Chinese, and she translates if a kid's having a problem or they're just now first at the school and they don't know English. She does all this. And then she walks them out to their car and proceeds to share Jesus with them. So all these people from the public school have become Christians, all these Chinese, because of her. And there was one lady. She had accepted Christ. She lived for a while in New York, had accepted Christ but went to church and something happened. This is how the enemy does it. Something happened. She quit going to church, quit reading her Bible, 20 years. And then she met Catherine. And she came back to Jesus. And I thought, oh my goodness, how long? But you see, the Lord says that if you are his child, he is going to discipline you. He's going to bring you back to himself because we're his. And that's an awesome thing that he does for us, isn't it? I love the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I hate it when it happens, but I love it because I'm so thankful that God is watching out for me that way. It's a wonderful thing. So he's saying, when you were, you used to be, which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. And now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But I want you now to take out your little booklets here, okay? This is an awesome list here of what we are to put off and we're to put on, okay? Now, I know the truth of the matter is this. When you're here at the retreat, you're going, oh, wow, I want to look up every one of those verses. And you may look up a few while you're here. And then your intention is when you get home, you're going to spend time looking up the rest of them. But you probably won't. So I have given the put off verses to some people in this room. And so we're going to talk about what these are all about. Because here's the thing. It's really good to go through this list and to say, Lord Jesus, right now, I want you to speak to my heart. Do I have some things that I haven't put off yet that I need to really pay attention to? God is so good because, listen, he wants more than anything to show you the truth. So very quickly, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but very quickly, I want the person that has ungratefulness, Romans 1:21, to read it to us, for us. Yes, okay. Romans 1. Now, murmuring, complaining. I'm sure none of you do this. Philippians 2:14.
Do all things without complaining and disputing.
You think that's a command from God? I think it is. In fact, it says, be hospitable, and in your hospitality, don't complain about it. Oh, have you ever done that? You invite somebody over and all that? Then it comes down to it. I gotta clean the house. What am I gonna make for them to eat? You know. Oh, yeah, some of you are giggling. You've done it. I've done it. That's why I know about it, right? Ungratefulness. Murmuring, complaining. Now the next one, retaliation.
Do not say, I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his
word. Do to him what he's done for me. That's where we live in the, what if I do this? Aha, get back. Okay, anger. Ooh.
An angry man stirs up
lying.
And a furious man
abounds
in transgression.
Ooh, okay. Lying, Ephesians 4:25.
Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another.
Wow. Wrong friends, Psalm 1:1.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
Do you see the progression? He walks, he stands, and then he sits. There's a progression there. Worry and, oh, yeah, worry and friend, Matthew 6, I mean, excuse me, worry and fear, Matthew 6, 25 and 32. Amen. Okay, put off lack of love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Yes. That's a conviction, isn't it? I think of the little kids in Sunday school. One of the first verses they learn, God is love. Do we believe it? Do we want to be that love that he is? Okay, judging, Matthew 7. Bitterness, Hebrews 12:15.
Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled.
Pride, Proverbs 16:5. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? An abomination to the Lord. How easy is it to be proud? Wow. We can fall into that trap so easily. But you know what else we can do? We can go from the pride to poor me. I'm horrible. Nobody loves me. Guess I'll go eat worms. I mean, you know, we can, it's a form of pride too when we go that route. Okay? All right, next. Unforgiving spirit, Mark 11, 26. Whoa, if you don't forgive, he won't forgive. Stubbornness, 1 Samuel 15,
23.
Yes, you did. And it's actually witchcraft. It's rebellion is equal to witchcraft. Wow, that's pretty heavy, isn't it?
Oh.
Yes, yes, sorry. That's a strong one. What about disobedience? 1 Samuel 12, 15.
However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers.
Okay, back page. Go to the back page real quick. Some more put-offs. Wrath, James 1, 19 and 20. Quick to hear, slow to speak. That's why God gave us two ears and one mouth, right? Quick to hear. Okay, Easily irritated, 1 Corinthians 13:5. I'm sure nobody can relate. Keeps no record of wrong. Wow. Okay, gossip, Proverbs 16:28.
A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends.
Critical spirit, Galatians 5:15.
If you keep on fighting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other.
Wow. Profanity, Proverbs 4:24. And as we said earlier, perverse lips can be more than just cussing, right? It can be all kinds of things. All right, idle words, Matthew 12:36.
But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account hereof in the day of judgment.
Wow. And now, immodest dress, Proverbs 7:10. Whoa. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes women can be naive, and sometimes they know exactly what they're doing. I had a young girl in our group, and she always had low cut. She's a new Christian, but she always had very, very low cut blouses. And the Lord opened the door. I kept praying, Lord, what do I do? I need to share with her. I need to make her realize. I know she really did not understand, because what? The styles and what young people are used to seeing and all of that. And I just kept praying, Lord, give me an opportunity to share with her. Well, then I met her mother, and her mother had one of those outfits on too. I'm like, oh dear. But God did open a door one day. It came up in our Bible study, and the opportunity to say, listen, when I used to teach at the Bible college, the young men would come to me and say, please tell the girls to cover up. We don't want to have lust. We don't want to fall into that trap. But please tell them to cover up. So we had a fashion show, and we showed them what you can wear, what you can not wear, what you put on and what you take off. And it was a good thing, because sometimes we're unaware. You don't need to be showing these mountains. Nope, you keep them covered. Not only that, here's the thing. People proclaim all the time, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus. You see on Facebook, love Jesus. And then you see a picture of them, and everything's hanging out, or it's way short up here, or they have the jeans that have a hole that shows things. Girls, we are to be a representative of Jesus Christ. He says when we come to him, we become ambassadors. And if you're in a country, a foreign country, an ambassador, if you go into that embassy, you're going to see things that replicate the country that they're representing. When I lived in Brazil, we went in the American embassy. They had American chewing gum. They had American candy. They all spoke English. It was like, I'm back in America. Woo! Right? You are representing his kingdom. This is so essential. I had a friend, and she was very large, very well endowed, and she was single. And one time the young adults were all together, and this young man came, and he said, I want you to, they were in a shopping center. He said, I want you to look in that mirror, just look. And she said when she looked in the mirror, she realized she was wearing something very low, very revealing. And basically God opened her eyes to see what he was seeing. We just need to be aware. We don't want to stumble anybody. And I think especially with today's styles, the tendency is to go that route. We live in California where it gets warm and there's beaches and all that kind of stuff. But we need to be aware. We need to be a witness, an ambassador for Christ, no matter where we go. Okay, we've done the put-offs. Tomorrow we're going to put on, okay? So the people that didn't get a put-off are going to give you a put-on, all right? So let's go back to our Colossians. And he said, verse, let's see, put on. We did verse 8. Put off all these, anger, wrath, malice. And interesting about that, it starts with anger. Then it becomes wrath. Then it becomes malice, which is you then want to kill. Malice is like taking action on that anger and wrath that you feel. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says this. Pursue peace with all people. How many is all?
All
people. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. And she read it earlier, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. We're to pursue peace. Peace. If you've got aught against a brother, what are you supposed to do? Go to that brother. Get it worked out. Tell them what's going on, how you're feeling. Or maybe you need to ask forgiveness yourself. I did that one time with a lady. I said, would you forgive me? And she said, no. But guess what? I did what God told me to do. And down the road, she came back and apologized to me. But don't let that sit there. You need to take care of it. You need to have that forgiveness going, because God is giving you grace. It's hard. It's hard to ask for forgiveness. It's hard to let go of whatever you've been holding on to. But God wants to give you grace to do it. And this says you'll come short of it. It's like saying, no, God, I don't care about having any grace to forgive them. I'll never forgive them. But that, what does it say? We read another verse. If you don't forgive, he won't forgive you. Okay, put off blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Wow. Renewed in knowledge. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Where does that knowledge come from? That comes as I get in God's word. And as I get in God's word, I say, Holy Spirit, give me knowledge. Give me understanding. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Okay. And it says, start with verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple. Wisdom is guided by knowledge, and that knowledge gives understanding. When I have the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, then he gives me wisdom as I get in that word, as I have his understanding of the word. Understanding means perception, insight, discernment. Again, given by God. Out of my natural man, I might not have that. But God's Holy Spirit can give me that discernment, that knowledge. And prudence is wisdom applied in practical matters. That's so essential. 2 Corinthians 3, turn there with me. All the way back to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 3. And verse 5 is very telling. It says this in verse 5. Whoops, I went too far. 3 verse 5 says this. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God. I don't, by nature, have God's wisdom. But he wants to give me his wisdom. That's why he gave us the book of Proverbs. Do you know the book of Proverbs is divided into 31 chapters? So you have a chapter every single day. Isn't that awesome? God knew how many days of the month there would be so that you can read a chapter a day of Proverbs. And as you read it, God begins giving you his discernment, his wisdom, his knowledge, his prudence, which is putting it into practice. And then he said this, look at verse 18 in chapter 3. He says this. Now, let's go back to 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, right? In other words, before I come to Jesus, I'm blinded. But when I come to Jesus, the veil is removed. When Jesus died on that cross, what happened to the veil of the temple? It was torn in two, signifying that no longer it was just the high priest that could go into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was, but now anybody could go into the Holy of Holies who were a believer. And us as believers in Jesus Christ, because of Jesus, we have access to the Father. We can come to his throne. And in the book of Hebrews, it says when we go, we receive mercy and grace. Isn't that awesome? We now have that because of what Jesus did. The veil's removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. As I get in his word, I'm beholding his glory. I'm beholding who he is. You know, it talks about abiding in the Lord in the book of John. I abide in him. I begin to know him. I begin to know what he thinks, what he feels. I begin to have an intimate relationship with him. And then it says, as I'm beholding the glory of the Lord, something's taking place. I'm being transformed into the same image. How many of you want to be in the image of Jesus? I do. And there's a lot of self to get rid of. How does that happen? How do I behold the glory of the Lord? Getting in his word, getting to know him. And as I behold him, look what the Holy Spirit's doing. Into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is doing a supernatural work in my heart as I behold Jesus. It's an awesome thing. So his image is transforming us. The Holy Spirit is transforming us into his image. Now turn to Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans 12. We're given an admonition here in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, cistern, you're not brethren, you're cistern. I beseech you, therefore, cistern, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. By the mercies of God. This can only happen as he gives us the mercy to do it. Because I can't change me any more than I can change my children or my husband or anybody. That's what only the Holy Spirit can do. You know, I was talking this morning about keeping your mouth shut. My daughter was promised by some people where she lives. They don't have a car. And she was promised that these people were going to give them, for a very low price, their car because they were getting a new one. And she was waiting and waiting because she lives in Belgium. She has to take public transportation everywhere they go. You know, it's very difficult with three little children. She also broke her leg. That's kind of hard to take public transportation everywhere or walk. Anyway, she was really counting on it. You know how we get? Oh, God's going to do it this way. Well, guess what? The people backed out. They changed their minds. And they sold the car to somebody else. And she called me. And she was upset. And she was angry. And she was on and on and on. And then I began to give her scripture. Because I'm her godly mother. Well, at the moment, she did not want to hear what I had to say. Right? Right? She said, don't give me any more of that God stuff. Oh, she was upset. So I got off the phone, and sure enough, I have Daily Bread. You ever read Daily Bread? It's a little devotional. It was written by a man in England many, many years ago, and it's basically scripture. That's all it is. Oh, my goodness. God sent me the biggest telegram that day, and he said to me, you know what? Keep your mouth shut. Basically what he said. He said, I wish I had it. I have it on my phone, but I forgot to bring my phone. But he was basically just telling me, you be quiet and let me do the work. And I did. I shut up. Well, sure enough, down a couple of weeks, she called me back. Mom, I have to ask your forgiveness. I already told God I'm sorry. Right? And you know what? That's just one of those lessons we have to learn, don't we? She had to learn one, and I had to learn one to keep my mouth shut. I cannot be the Holy Spirit in somebody else's life. I can't even be the Holy Spirit in my own life, right? So it's a good admonition. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's your spiritual service of worship as we present our bodies to him. And then verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My mind needs continually to be renewed because it can go down really quickly into the wrong place, right? It's a constant thing. By nature, we're conformed to this world. And now, as a believer, I want to be transformed. And that word right there where it says be transformed, it's a word in Greek, it's metamorphosis. What is that talking about? The worm, the caterpillar, becoming a butterfly. He wants to transform us. He wants to transform our thinking to be in the image of Jesus. And as my mind is being renewed, reading God's word is not a maybe. It's a must. I have to have it because my mind continually needs to be renewed. Beholding him, spending time with him, and like I said, beholding his glory. How practically can I behold his glory? Being in his word, getting to know him, walking, spending time in his truth. Now, there are two words in the Greek for word. One is logos. Logos is the eternal word of God. But the other word is Rhema. Rhema is when God takes his eternal word and he makes it a reality in our hearts. You've met people who have a lot of head knowledge of God, but they don't know him. That head knowledge has never gone down into the heart. And that's what God wants to do with each one of us. He wants to make his eternal word Rhema in our hearts. So essential. It becomes a reality. And I was reading the other day, you know how we have the spiritual armor in Ephesians chapter 6? And one of the pieces of the armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. And that particular word is Rhema. It's because who makes the word? So that we understand it. So it's a reality in our hearts. The Holy Spirit. I never saw that before. Anyway. Okay, wisdom equal knowledge guided by understanding. And then here's another thing. Knowledge. There are two words for knowledge in the Greek. One is gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. That's general knowledge. Okay? Another one is epi. E-P-I. Epinosis. Like an EpiPen, right? Because you get the junk in there to make a difference. Well, epinosis is the personal knowledge of the truth given by God. God makes it real. Have you been that way before? You've read something, you didn't understand what in the world it was talking about? This 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I muddled over that scripture for so long. What does this mean? And the Lord said, I want to make it a reality. I want you to understand what I'm talking about. And His Holy Spirit began to show me the truth about it. And He will do it for every one of us. We had a lady in our church in South Louisiana. She could not read a cake mix. She couldn't read just normal stuff. But she could read the Bible in the King James Version. No other Bible. She had a different version. She couldn't read it. What's with that? That's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I don't know why He didn't let her read it in other language, in other versions, but it was King James. He wanted her in that one. Anyway, gnosis and epinosis. So that's what he's talking about back here in Colossians, having his knowledge, his understanding, his perception, insight, discernment, which is given by God. And as we read, verse 7 in Proverbs 1 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. 2 Timothy 2:25 says this, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge. That's the epignosis. Who grants repentance? Does of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. God can use all of us. I get befuddled because I think I have to say it the right way. Maybe I'm going to offend them. But you know what, ladies? You're holding the keys to life. You're holding the keys to life, because apart from Jesus, it's death. Death eternally, eternally separated from God. And no matter how we say it, who's the one that brings them to himself? God does, by the power of his Holy Spirit. So just shoot it out and let God do the work. I mean, so many times I've maybe said something and I think, oh man, did I mess that up? I remember one time this lady brought her mother to church, and I didn't know the lady. I didn't know her mother. And so we had a prayer time, and my husband motioned to me, this lady wants to know about knowing Jesus. Take them in the prayer room. So I go in the prayer room, and I'm thinking, the Roman road. What's the Roman road? And I had it in my Bible, so I'm kind of looking. I was so befuddled thinking I was going to mess things up, and I did. I did a horrible job presenting the gospel, and finally I said, do you want to accept Jesus? And she went, yes. And I went, you do? and then I said, and you can talk to a pastor later. I just felt like, yeah. And she and her daughter told me later, she said, I was thinking, who is this buffoon? I'm the pastor's wife. Oh, well, shut up. But God, isn't that great? Girl, guys, I can be such a mess up. How about you? Right? I can just botch it. But God, hallelujah. All right, being in prayer, talking to God made possible by Jesus' sacrifice. Remember, the veil was torn. I don't need anyone, no pastor, no priest. Prayer brings total dependence on God. I love prayer. I love the fact that we can talk to him anytime, anywhere. I love that we can bring prayer requests to him. I have a prayer group I'm a part of. And listen, if you're not a part of a prayer group, find somebody to be your prayer partner. It means everything. We have a prayer chain. I'm telling you, that is the hottest prayer chain you'll ever see. Prayer to request are coming ongoing, ongoing. Last night, I got one late at night. This man of one of our prayer warriors had heart problems, went in. Today, he had a pacemaker put in. We're all praying. Man, it means everything to know. People are there praying for you, interceding for you. I have one daughter that calls me almost every day for everything, but mostly prayer. She wants me to pray for her. This is the relationship God wants us to have with him and with each other. You can pray about anything and everything. Aren't you thankful we don't have to use any special language? When my father was a pastor and a missionary, but he was old school, and he would pray with the these and the thous, right? I'm so thankful we don't have to do that. I can talk to God just like I talk to you. That's a wonderful privilege that we have. So essential. God wants us to go to Him. He wants to be our best friend, our confidant, and our counselor. No greater counselor than the Lord. And the third one is fellowship. These three things are going to enable us to behold the glory of the Lord. Encouraging one another in the things of God. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. We read it earlier a little bit, but let's look at it again. Hebrews 10 and verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Oh, my goodness, girls. He's faithful, but sometimes I'm not. And I want to hold fast that confession of my faith without wavering, of my hope. I don't want to be hopeless. But look what it says in 24. This is a way that we can have that hope renewed when we come together. Let us consider, let us examine closely one another in order to stir up love and good works. You know what? If nobody knows who you are, and you come in church and you leave church and nobody knows you, they aren't going to pray for you. Really? I want to know people so I can get all the prayer when I need it. It means everything for you to be a part of a body of believers so they can be praying for you. They can be interceding for you. I think the greatest thing in my life has been women's Bible study. Getting together with other women to study God's word. We end up praying for each other. We end up praying for situations we're going through. I've got a whole bunch of people right now praying for this weekend right here. I have people in Colorado, people back home in Murrieta, people all over the place praying. It makes a difference. We prayed for a young man for 3 years. He was on drugs. He was 16 years old. He was so bad that his mother had to kick him out because he kept stealing things out of her house and getting drugs with them. He died 2 times on fentanyl, but his drug friends gave him that Narcan and brought him back. But God brought him back, really, because Nathan needed Jesus. And one day, this girl, member of our prayer group, is his aunt, she came to our prayer group and she said, Nathan got saved. Nathan turned his life over to Jesus. Let me tell you one thing. When you prayed for somebody for 3 years and it looks so hopeless and God does a miracle, woo! Your desire to pray goes way up there. Oh, we were just rejoicing. And you know what? That was 2 years. He's good. He's faithful. Walking strong with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is good. He's faithful. He can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything we can imagine. He is faithful. Now, we've prayed for some. We've prayed for a lot of children with cancer. A lot of children. We lost one last year, little Riley Faith. We prayed for her a lot. But she got the ultimate healing. She's with Jesus. We prayed for another one who had leukemia. She's healed. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to talk to God for each other. That's what Paul says. If you notice in his letters, what does he always mention? I'm praying for you. In Ephesians and other ones, he specifically says, I'm praying this for you. If you've ever gone through and read the prayers of Paul for them, that's good prayers to pray for each other. It means a lot. It makes a difference. Thank God for prayer. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so you too will not be tempted. And then it says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Part of bearing the burdens is praying for one another, but also being there for your sister in Christ. We're all going through stuff. It's tough. But hallelujah, we have the body of Christ. You know what? I don't know any of you, but I've had the greatest time this weekend and feel like I know you. Isn't that incredible? How is that possible? Some of you perfect strangers, but you're not strange anymore. I don't think. Only that one over there, she's a little strange. But you know what? It's so awesome, the body of Christ. No matter where we go, it's so awesome that we have the body of Christ, and instantly we can have family. It's wonderful. I love how God does that. Okay, let me see if there's Romans 15, 1 through 6. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good to his edification. Even Christ did not please himself. The scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help us to live in complete harmony with each other, so that with one accord, we may with one voice glorify God. Yay, God. I love how he set this up for us. Jesus didn't please himself, did he? Do you know one of the things the disciples were always arguing about? Who's the greatest? In fact, the Last Supper, what did Jesus do for the disciples? He washed their feet. He was an example of a servant, wasn't he? Here's Jesus facing the cross. Facing. He knew what he was facing. And yet he took the time to wash their feet, to be an example to them. They left the Last Supper on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And guess what? The dudes were discussing who's the greatest. And if you remember, James and John, their Jewish mother, had gone to Jesus and said, Jesus, when you're in your kingdom, can my sons be on either side of you? And the other disciples were really upset. You know, sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder, that's their other nickname. How dare she ask that they sit on either side? You know, I was thinking about Peter. Remember, Jesus said, Peter, you're the rock, and upon this my church will be built. Well, can you imagine those disciples, how upset they went? Hey, he gave Peter a special name. Why isn't he giving us a special name? I mean, this is what they were all about, and you'll find it throughout how many times. In fact, the word that's used in that instance when they were leaving the Last Supper, seeing Jesus as the servant, and they were fighting, and one of the words used is Nikea, like Nike, the love of victory. That's what it literally means. They had a love of victory. I'm better than you are. And of course, Peter was the one. I will never. You ever thought that? I will never. And guess who did, right? Okay. The natural man lives in his feelings, his emotions, and will never know the transforming power of God. But the spirit man resist conformity to this world, to his flesh, and to the devil. He lives his life depending on the Spirit's power to grow in godliness, to obey God's word, and to experience increasing intimacy with God. Do you know that's God's desire for you? That you grow in intimacy with him. The result is Colossians 3:11. And I love that because here in Colossians chapter 3, when he's been talking about throwing off the old man and embracing the new man, what is he saying in essence? And it's right here summed up in this verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, and they were considered uncivilized people, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. What do we see today? The anti-Semitism, it's unbelievable. So rampant, so much a part of our society. But in Jesus Christ, that's not there. We're to love everybody. We're to receive everybody. One of my favorite passages is in John when it says Jesus had to go to Samaria. Who was he going to see in Samaria? The woman at the well. A woman, first of all, a woman. Jewish rabbis would have nothing to do with women. Do you know there was a group of Jewish rabbis? They were called the blind and the bleeding, because when they would go out in public, they didn't want to look at any woman. So they closed their eyes when a woman was coming toward them. They'd close their eyes and run into stuff. The blind and bleeding. And that's the height of stupidity. But here's Jesus. He's a man. He's a Jewish rabbi. And here's this woman. No man wanted to be around her. But Jesus loved her. He cared about her. He reached out to her. And what an awesome reaction when she figured out who he was. And she ran and told everybody, didn't she? He is amazing. There was no partiality with him. And I'll tell you the truth, the Jews would even go far, far, a lot further than they normally needed to go to not go through Samaria, because they hated the Samarians. Why? Because when the Jews were taken to Babylon in captivity, the Samaritans, blah, 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 the people from Samaria intermarried. They were Jews that intermarried with those that weren't Jews. Therefore, they were considered half-breeds. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. But God, he loved her. She was a woman. She was a Samaritan. Samaritan. I'm getting confused on that word. She was a Samaritan? Yes. Samaritan. Thank you. Samaritan. Y'all get it. Yay, huh? Praise the Lord. So that's the result. That's the result when God works in our hearts. And tomorrow, I think it's time, right? I didn't even look at the time. Sorry. Tomorrow, we're going to be in 12. Chapter 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, what are we to do? Put on. We're going to put on tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, bearing one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you. Do you realize God has a lot of emphasis on forgiveness? He talks about it an awful lot, doesn't he? So tomorrow we're going to get into those things and find out what our new wardrobe is in the King. Hey, he has awesome stuff for us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I just thank you, oh God, that you want to do a work in each one of us. I thank you that you want to have a relationship with us. I thank you, God, that you love us, in spite of our failures, in spite, oh God, of things that we sometimes are blind to. I thank you that you love us and that you gently bring us to yourself. I thank you that you said in your word, your kindness leads us to repentance. And we thank you for that, oh God. Your love is amazing. We stand in awe of your love and your mercy and your grace. And we thank you, oh Father, for your word that you've given us that we might know you. We just ask now that you minister and move by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.